WBRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sharing Show.
You know, I cannot seem to escape you. Last night I was home, I was watching a Jim Carrey movie. It's one where he's got a camera on him all his life. Do you know the name of that movie?
The Truman Show.
The Truman Show. And I'm sitting there watching it, and he's talking to his best friend. You know what his best friend is doing?
No, what?
He's filling a vending machine.
Fantastic.
He's filling a vending, and the first thing I thought of, I can't watch the rest of this movie now because I got Martin Zender on my mind now. I had to turn it off. I couldn't watch it anymore.
I
saw the vending machine.
I am.
I never see a vending machine on TV.
Well, see, it's God's little way of telling you that we are on the right track, breaking this so-called complex theological doctrine into simple, practical analogy. And I think I got it all figured out.
Oh, boy.
I know you wish I'd shut up about this vending machine business because it's haunting you in your sleep even. You go homeless on television.
Vending machines. I'm dreaming about them. Go ahead.
You've been to those rest areas.
Yeah, I have. I never use the vending machines.
You don't?
Who in their right mind would buy something from those awful things anyway?
Oh, yeah?
I never buy from
All right, them. So I suppose you go into like a quick shop or something and get the coffee there, right?
No.
It's been sitting in a glass pot there.
I never buy any coffee in a glass pot on rare occasions.
Oh,
I don't do that.
You get coffee from McDonald's, don't you?
McDonald's is always fresh. I like McDonald's.
It's always fresh. And when you drink it, it tastes like styrofoam.
Yeah, well, the Burger King tastes
like
tin can.
Burger King is much better. Burger King, listen to this. Listen, I'm going to tell you something here, and you're going to remember it, and you're going to dream about it.
Okay.
Burger King coffee is the Led Zeppelin of coffees.
No wonder it stinks. God, awful. You know what? No wonder. It's formless and void, and it has no distinction of taste, like Led Zeppelin's music. Formless and void, and you can't distinguish the notes. Perfect. Good illustrations, Andrew.
All right,
I appreciate
that. Let's move on. I'm buried, and I can't get out.
Vending machines.
All right, the building. This is the analogy. I'm going to review this. I think it's important.
And again, we're talking Sheridan about, doesn't. For those of you who are new, we're talking about terminology here. The difference between the word dispensation and administration.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about other things as we come, but go ahead.
The building, where the difference... Don't do that on me. Do not lean against the wall and go to sleep.
Oh.
That intimidates me.
Okay.
I look up to you.
I'm paying attention, sir.
And when you're paying attention to me, it gives me strength and gives me courage.
Excuse me, sir. Will you, Mr. Administrator, will you please dispense to me some of this truth?
Yes,
Thank
I
you.
Will. Thank All you right. very much for asking. The building, where the different machines are... is God. That's God's program. That's God's whole... God has everything, and all the machines, everything you need. If it's a sandwich, if it's candy, if it's hot coffee, it's in this building.
So what you're saying is all these administrations, though they're different, there's only one God.
Yes.
All right.
They're under the umbrella of
the
God.
The one God. So you mean God has different administration. Interesting. Go ahead.
Yes, and it's one building.
One building.
But there's
Continue.
Different machines.
One God overall.
There's
okay.
different machines. And vending is another word for diaconia, give, what is given. Serve what
wow.
is served out. That's
okay.
as simple as it is, right? We told you this earlier in the week. You pull the knob, you
it's
get your
product.
It's
not there to look pretty. It's there to do something.
It's there to do
it's
something.
It's there to dispense.
It's
administration is there to do something. It's not just there for looks. Something has to be dispensed by an administrator.
That's a good thing to put it, way to put it too. It has to do something.
And if it's not if it's there and it doesn't do anything, it's not
mm-hmm.
profitable to the company,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
And I will say this, that the candy machine that dispenses candy is a different machine than the one that dispenses hot drinks. That's
okay.
a totally different mechanisms, different gears. And every so the machine would be the administration, would be the modus operandi, the method of operation. That's the administration. Within the administration is the thing that's dispensed.
Okay.
Which within the candy machine is dispensed candy. Within the drink machine is dispensed drink. and they're different administrations. In other words, the thing that it does, the gears, the way it has to move, is totally different to dispense a candy bar than it is to dispense a hot cup of coffee. You granted?
Got it.
So that would be, in the analogy, the different administration. The modus operandi is different that would dispense candy and the modus operandi that would dispense coffee.
Good old
and friend. The person that comes in, now let's say every machine has to have its own expert. The guy who stocks the candy machine and who repairs the candy machine, he's trained for the candy machine.
Yeah.
If you take that guy and put him on the coffee machine, he's opening the back of that. He's worked on the candy machine for years. And you suddenly tell him, I want you to go three machines over and fix the coffee machine. Sure. He assumes it's just like the candy machine. He opens the back of that thing. He goes, what? There's tubes, there's receptacles, there's all different gearing and mechanisms that are not in the candy machine. And so you need a different administrator. You need a different guy to run that machine.
Mm.
And so you call in the coffee machine guy. In our analogy, we said that the coffee drink machine, we're comparing that to Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And we're dispensing the candy, which the law of Moses is certainly not candy, but please, you know, forgive me. In the analogy, one machine dispenses death and condemnation, one dispenses peace and grace, and a different administrator for the different machine. Moses for Moses, Paul for Paul. You can't mix the two. Moses is not going to come on the scene and dispense grace.
And yet there's one God above
and
it all.
And yet you're in the vending area. You're in the vending pavilion. And you're there, it's covered. I love those places, especially in the winter. You go there, it's heated, it's warm. And some, you know what? I'm going to go to the next one I go. I'm wondering if they have 12 machines. Wouldn't that be awesome to represent the 12 different administrations?
Sure.
I'm feeling good now because I think we hammered that. And that's the basic concept of diaconia, is the product that falls out of the tray. That's diaconia. The administration is the machine, the method that brings the product to you, and the administrator is the person that fills that machine and maintains it.
Nice.
Okay?
Good.
All tied up.
What's next?
Simply this.
Simply this. When we say simply this, usually takes 2 weeks.
Yeah, simply this. 3 weeks later, you'll have it.
All right.
Yeah.
Hello, dead silence.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think. Maybe we should just give you an overview again. I know we did this 2 weeks ago of the 12 different vending machines in God's pavilion. Or we could give the reason why God does things 12 different ways. Isn't that cool? God, there's a reason God has 12 different ways. Or we could just do the overview and then go to the reason.
Let's talk about the number 12.
Let's do the overview. Ooh. You just took me one better, Sheridan.
Let's talk about the number 12.
All right, let's do it.
What does number 12 stand for in Scripture? How many tribes?
12.
How many were going to judge the 12 tribes?
12.
What does the number 12 stand for?
I'm taking a pretty educated guess here. Earthly administration.
Administrations. So wouldn't it be interesting if God and His whole purpose of the eons has 12 administrations, showing us His ways of administration.
I like that. That is
eons.
So cool.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And God's done that.
He is so gracious to be simple with us.
Yeah.
And it makes even more, when you say something like that, it makes me even more frustrated that theology has made a tangled mess of this and put a theological term on it. Dispensationalism. You guys are dispensationalists.
Yeah. Now we could chart, and this is charted out. Some people, you know, back when we spoke at the beginning of the week about that letter that gentleman wrote about us,
which we're going to read to
and
folks.
He made a point that our doctrine is so complicated we have to write charts to explain it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the truth about that statement. The truth is our doctrine is so simple we can illustrate it. You cannot illustrate covenant theology. Our teaching is so simple. The Scripture's teaching is laid out in such an orderly fashion
that you
can draw it out.
That's fantastic.
Because God has given it to us in an orderly manner. That's why you can actually sit down and people outline books. This guy who wrote said that we have to illustrate it. I bet you he's written outlines or he's written authors who've given outlines. We're saying that you can illustrate this. You can draw this on a chart, these administrations. And you can expand. You can draw God's purposes.
And folks, don't think. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
Go ahead. That's all.
Well, don't think that because this is simple and because it can be charted that Christians en masse are receiving this.
Yes.
Because they're not. And again, we're going to read this letter. We keep teasing you with this letter, but when we're done teaching on this, we're going to go back to this letter that we were written that objects to everything we're saying.
And it is a typical letter.
It's a typical letter of arguments. That's why it's valuable. We're going to show you the classic arguments against this. But just because this can be charted and because it's simple doesn't mean that people readily receive it, because we can point out that God dispensed condemnation and death through Moses for a reason, and he dispensed grace and truth through Paul for a reason, and yet even some people that know that, they are still not learning the lesson of it because they consistently mix the 12. I mean, you know what that's like? I just thought of another analogy. If you're going to take things from the law and you're going to cherry pick the Bible and you're going to take some things from the law and put them in Paul, that's like taking a Hershey bar out of the candy machine, putting it in the coffee machine, and trying to cram it through the coffee mechanism.
Exactly.
It's not going to work. It's going to clog the. I know. Let's just take a candy bar from the Moses administration and put it in this coffee machine. Hey, what happened? Somebody tried to mix what is dispensed, and they tried to put a different thing in a different administration, in a different machine, and that's going to kill it every time. You can't do that. And so let's review quickly. This is Friday. We're going to review the 12 administrations, and then starting Monday, we're going to tell you why God would do this. You're going to love that. And then we're going to go into detail on these 12 different things. And the reason this is important is because you're going to appreciate what God's doing today, and you're not going to confuse it with what he did yesterday. In the Garden of Eden, man, namely Adam, did not have a knowledge of good and evil.
No.
By the way, ponder that.
He didn't even have a knowledge of good.
He didn't even have a knowledge
Theology
of good.
Theology says he knew good but didn't know evil. The Bible says he had no knowledge of good or evil. He got that when he took of the fruit.
When he partook of the fruit.
He did not have a knowledge of good or evil.
And something happened, dramatic happened. There was a line of demarcation there. When he ate the fruit, he had a knowledge of good and evil. So we had a time period not knowing good from evil and then knowing good from evil. God departed from the garden and man was given a conscience. God took the place of the conscience. Now man had a conscience, but there was no human government. Men were their own, a law unto themselves. That changed in Genesis 9. We're going to show you the details of that in an upcoming week. Human government came on the scene. It never was that way until Genesis chapter 9. Then God calls a man and to give him more detailed, intimate knowledge of who he is, and that man was Abraham. And we saw a promise. God gave a promise. Then God gave a law. He didn't give the law when he gave the promise. He gave the law later through Moses. And then we saw the Savior himself came. That was another dispensation, another
grace
administration.
And truth.
It was grace and truth. After that, we had
The Pentecostal administration through Peter.
We had a
transitional period
time. And then Paul is given an administration and a dispensation that nobody had ever heard before. It's called a secret. He himself called it a secret. There's a day of indignation coming up when God's going to wreak havoc on this earth. That ain't now. There's a kingdom, 1,000 years, and then God is going to become all in all in what we call eon number 5. An amazing program. God turns out to be a genius, and I love it.
I
do too. But why does God do this? Why not just do it one way from the beginning? As our friend said who writes the letter, well, there's a very good reason God did 12 different things at 12 different times, and we're going to give you that Monday.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy grace and peace.